You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Spinner from MLB.com, and I am here with Corey Brock, who covers the Padres for MLB.com. It has been a busy offseason for Corey, and now it's about to be a very busy spring training for Corey. So, Corey, there's a couple interesting things that have been going on lately, just things that have been written. And I, you know, with Mark Kotze being the new hitting coach, and we talked about him like 3 months ago when that whole thing went down. And I just think it's really interesting because he's got a whole new, a completely new team to work with in his first year as a hitting coach. That might be a kind of interesting dynamic. He seems to be pretty excited about it. But what do you think about all of that? Just like really having so many new players that he doesn't really have a history with yet.
Well, yeah. How about this? Yeah. As a first year hitting coach, you know, a guy that's only 2 years removed from his playing days and certainly a guy that's privy to, you know, the Padres offensive struggles because he was a part of it just 2 years ago. And certainly understands the dynamic that's gone on here. And suddenly he shows up, he's hired Allison, and then they go out and make a trade for Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, Derek Norris, Will Myers, and suddenly he's got a boatload of new faces to work with and proven offensive commodities. So, I know he's excited. The Padres are excited to have him work with these guys. And, you know, the hitting coach job is an interesting one. And, you know, you talk to players and you kind of get a lot of different you get a lot of variations of opinions on, you know, they all agree these guys are valuable, okay, first and foremost. But, you know, I think guys get different things from the hitting coach. Sometimes it's mechanical. Sometimes it's inspirational. And sometimes it's relating something that you went through as a player to something maybe they're going through. And I think that Kotze played in the league for so long and is really, a fairly recent player. I think he's going to be able to relate a lot of things to guys. So I think it's going to be a pretty good mix. He does have a very good assistant hitting coach, Alonzo Powell, who has been with the team the past couple of years. He's with him and will kind of help him out along the way. That's kind of become the norm with a lot of these teams now, just because players show up so early to the field now and, the indoor hitting cages and, the video work these guys do now that the teams feel like they need two guys kind of working with players at all times. So, but yeah, it's certainly a very good situation for Mark Kotze to walk into.
It's funny. I wrote a long story several months ago about hitting coaches and do the best hitters make the best hitting coaches? And I mean, the answer is no, ultimately. But also, yeah, they are psychologists, they're big brothers, they're mechanics, there's certain guys that you just kind of have to listen to them. There's other guys that need a lot of guidance. And I don't know, I mean, do hitting coaches watch a lot of video, like, during the offseason? I mean, do you think Kotze was studying up on a bunch of hitters he really doesn't have anymore? And does he have to start completely over?
Well, that's a good point. No, hopefully he didn't get too deep into the roster. That's a good point. I don't know exactly what his preparation was once he was hired and, you know, how heavily involved he got into looking at swings of players who are no longer with the team. And, I knew, at least during the winter meetings, Bud Black talked a lot about how he was going to regiment things a little differently in spring training. There was going to be a lot more on the field work, right from the get-go in terms of drills, not just BP, but doing a lot of different things on the field to get these guys, get these guys ready to go from day one. You know, this is a franchise that, for whatever reason, has gotten off to some awfully, awfully slow starts, really debilitating slow starts, and just dug themselves big holes and haven't been able to get out of them for whatever reason. So, you know, I think they feel like, you know, with the makeover of the roster, you know, if they can get these guys, you know, hitting, get them really going from day one in April, that they can get off to a strong start and then see what happens from there. So, you know, like I said, I know everybody's excited about this. You know, he wasn't necessarily their first choice. You know, going into the whole process, you know, as I wrote when they hired him, you know, Mark Kotze was sitting in on these interviews, just asking questions, being part of the interview process, which is kind of funny. And then, you know, I think A.J. Preller and Bud Black were listening to some of the questions he was asking, and they thought, hey, why not this guy? So, you know, I think it's going to be a good fit for everyone.
There's an interesting column on the Padres website written by Tracy Ringlesby just about how the Padres were hoping to follow the route taken by the Tigers in terms of building their team and sort of building their team to just to be in line with their ballpark, which, as we know, the Tigers had a massive overhaul and sacrificed the 2003 season to be one of the worst ever in history. Now, it's one or two losses short of being the actual worst team in history, but it's still, you know, kind of rough times. And, of course, the Padres have never gotten to that point. But then the Tigers, you know, they started building the farm system, obviously, and is adding the right pieces offensively to become the juggernaut that they became just 3 years later. Do you think that was something that Preller had in mind? I mean, has he ever kind of acknowledged that or compared, kind of made comparisons to the Tigers franchise? Do you think that that's something that the front office had in the back of its mind, like, hey, maybe we can do this too?
You know, that's nothing that he's really talked about. I know he kind of came in with the mentality of we want to win. We want to win now, which, you know, I know it's kind of a tired cliche. And, you know, they gave him 5 years right out of the chute, which was kind of unheard of. And, you know, I kind of thought that this was going to be something that was going to take some time. You had some interesting pieces in the minor league system already that they were going to kind of build that way. But lo and behold, they made all these deals now. You know, I think, you know, it's funny you talk about the ballpark, and there's been some modification changes to the ballpark, and I know they did one in Detroit as well. And you've had different regimes come through and different drafting philosophies. So, yeah, you know, people always talk about what's the ideal Petco player? How do you find a player that could succeed there? And I think people have ultimately kind of come back around and decided to just find kind of the best all-around fit. And they've decided that looking at Petco Park that, you know, for you sort of have this misnomer that it's this cavernous field now. You know, the modifications have helped. It plays a little bit more neutral. And the biggest thing I think Preller has noticed, Allison, is that he's been told it, and now I think he saw it over the last 2 months of the season when he was in charge. This right-handed power plays pretty well in the ballpark, that if you square it up from the right-hand side, it's going to go. And I think if you look at the moves that he's made this offseason, they're sort of indicative of that. Justin Upton, Matt Kemp, Derek Norris, you know, he can square something up. Will Myers, this is going to be an awfully, awfully right-handed heavy lineup. And I know some of the naysayers are like, well, there's not enough left-handers in the mix. Well, you know, you look at where this offense was last year, and you look at the upgrades they made, and I think that's kind of a nitpicking a little bit. You know, I think the upgrades they made are very substantial, very notable, and like I said, it's going to be a very right-handed hitting lineup. Ultimately, I guess it doesn't matter how you score runs, but I think they feel like, you know, they can maybe put up a three spot on the board with one swing here with some of these guys in the lineup. So, yeah, Petco Park, it's been funny to watch and listen to people talk about it and, you know, watch some of their draft philosophies over the years. But, you know, I guess if you had one group from start to finish, again, the ballpark opened in 2004, but, you know, we've had several groups come through here, several drafts, several scouting directors, and they've all sort of had different opinions on the subject. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you're looking for the best players, the best talent, and maybe at the end of the day, maybe the best power.
I read something that you wrote recently, and it kind of got me, it piqued my curiosity a little bit. I mean, they were so all in on Sandoval. I mean, and they actually, in terms of the offer, I believe it was more than anybody else. And then after they lost out on him, Preller said that the wheels just kept turning, and they just, like, immediately went to plan B, plan C, you know, and all that. But my question is, I mean, would all of this have happened, do you think, if they had signed Sandoval? I mean, like, I'm sure some of the moves would have been made, but there would have been so much less financial flexibility had they been able to find Pablo Sandoval. Do you think that that's kind of where it would have stopped if they had gotten him? And would any of this craziness that we saw, would any of this have happened?
Well, that's a question I asked him, and I thought that was interesting too. And I think a lot of people lost sight of that after that, you know, that mid-December trading spree Yeah, they were all in on him, and that's a term that they use. This isn't like something I made up. You know, this is a term that the Padres internally use, all in. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had gotten him, what would the landscape of their offseason look like? You know, what if they would have gotten Yasmani Tomas same thing. What it looked a little bit different as well. So it's hard to say. You know, they won't look you in the eye and give you a straight answer there, because maybe they don't really know that for themselves. You know, but it would have looked different. I think, you know, the camp thing probably could have been something that they probably still could have gone down the road on. They still like the player an awful lot. So, but, you know, I think that they couldn't have been nearly as active as they were. Maybe Justin Upton wouldn't have happened. Maybe Derek Norris wouldn't have happened. But it's funny, you know, you kind of get turned down by that first reply on your prom date. And lo and behold, you're the second one you end up with is maybe the girl you marry.
Exactly. And I just, one last thing. I just thought it was kind of funny. I was reading some of the coverage about how when the Padres got the All-Star game for 2016. And somebody from the Padres was saying, like, that having the winter meetings there really helped argue their case that they could really handle an All-Star game with all the logistics. Because, of course, you know, I think a lot of people understand you sort of have to make a bid and you have to show that you've got, you know, a great facility that can accommodate everything, including media, enough hotels, convention center. But I just thought it was funny, like, that they would need the winter meetings. I mean, anybody could go to that area, near the ballpark and just that downtown area, that stretch, and say, well, this would be, like, the ideal place for an All-Star game. I mean, it sounded a little funny to me to say, like, well, we never could have had this if it wasn't for the winter meetings, showing that we could really handle this. I mean, San Diego is so much better equipped than a lot of cities that we go to for some All-Star game. Did that kind of strike you as a little odd?
Well, maybe, yeah. It's probably a little bit of an oversimplification that that San Diego was somehow like this great secret and that, oh, we just discovered this. But I think maybe what they were trying to get to, at least in explaining that, was, you know, it allowed them to kind of have this impromptu sorry, I guess the children here. It allowed them to kind of have this impromptu site visit, if for nothing else, the major league people that were here for the winter meetings were able to kind of come over to Petco Park. You know, they already had the proposal. That was all done in November. But it allowed them to come over and kind of take a look around and walk around and see for themselves with their own eyes, you know, not looking at a, artist rendering, or not looking at, some photos or some video, but kind of see for themselves kind of how this all works. And I think, you know, I don't know if that necessarily sealed the deal, but I think it helped them. You know, maybe it's at the end of the day, what you were sort of explaining and what I wrote was kind of a nice, tidy little cliche to it all. But, you know, who knows how much it helped. Maybe it helped a little bit. But, you know, I think the winter meetings, having it here and having San Diego put on a really good show helped.
Yeah, I think that the twin setup this past year was probably one of the best that I've ever been a part of, just as far as, like, everything kind of being in a triangle, from the hotel to the convention center to the ballpark. But I think San Diego, I don't think anyone's going to want to have an All-Star game anywhere else after it's in San Diego. So we shall see. Corey, thank you. Kiss the babies for me, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Allison. I appreciate it.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.